Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Yoda Speed, it's the Sportive. I've got John with me. Hi, John.
Hi, Brandon.
And Stuart. Hi, Stu.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Some shocking breaking news. Chicken Finger 69 is not available to join us this evening. So
he's in a church parking lot. We got no further intel beyond church parking lot. That could mean so many things.
Could be code.
It could mean something. Could be code.
Cry for help.
Could be something simple like there's maybe a practice or a meeting of some sort there. It could be where his anger management classes are. It could be any number of things.
Awfully cryptic,
though. The best
though.
Part about it is cryptic, and that's why we love Chicken Fingers, because you never really know what's going on. You just know something is. And when you find out about it, it's too late.
He didn't say he was at church, which would be one thing. He said, I'm in a church parking lot, which is very specific.
It's just
concerning.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, like some churches, like since Halloween is the devil's party, they have like the big trick-or-treat out of the trunk type of thing, so you can go there and get like...
Trick-or-trunk.
I don't know. Trick-or-trunk, yeah, you get like the New Testament and a couple of communion wafers that were misshapen when they showed up, and that's about it, and it's kind of bullshit, so...
Factory second communion wafers are...
Exactly.
That's a bad...
Yeah, you don't want to get
bad
that.
Bad business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, wait a minute. They're partially leavened? That makes no sense.
Why is this
so
leavened?
Yeah,
Who brought the leaven?
So we don't really know what's going on with Dr. Fingers, but we just wish him well. Just love and light to Chicken Finger 69. Although I do want to note that he had plenty of time for the podcast that he edits, Access Vikings, to submit ample content this week again.
Yeah, he's the running owner, the show over there.
The owner, operator, and editor.
Yep.
Well, let's get into sports. The main thing we need to discuss, and we love to have news break and then talk about it 5 days later. We have to make sure everybody else gets all of their takes out of the way before we start discussing something. Mm-hmm. And that is the blockbuster trade of Jim Butler to my favorite team, the Sixers, which is very odd for me. So as you know, and most listeners will know, each one of us on the Sportive have one or maybe two subjects that we're not allowed to just talk about. It's rant probation. And I've been on rant probation for both the Wolves and the NBA at large for a long time now. So when you're on rant probation, you can't start the conversation. You can only answer questions. So do either one of you have a take that you'd like to get off your chest, or do you want to just ask me a question about this trade?
The floor is open. The press conference is beginning.
Yes.
Microphones at both sides of the room. Yeah. Sit in the back.
Brandon, Sportive Podcast, Sportive Podcast.
Sure. Steve Newman, yep.
Yeah, hey, buddy. So do you think the Timberwolves made a good trade?
I do think they made a good trade. It's very odd to say that out loud and to actually believe it, but... yeah, they got two good players that, and as a Sixer super fan, I've watched both Šarić, I think is how it's said. I thought it was Šarić until he got traded, and Bob Covington for many years, and they're both good and fun to watch, and I think the Wolves fans will really like them. And the team just makes more sense now. These guys play defense. They don't need the ball in their hand to dribble the air out of it like Jimmy Butler did. So, yes,
have
I think
either
they made
of them,
a good trade.
Brandon, I John Marthaler,
John, sure.
Tribune.
John,
I want to break in and ask, have either of them gone on ESPN in a pre-planned hit piece to make fun of their teammates, their coach, and everybody involved with the organization.
To my knowledge, that's just a Jim Butler thing. I can't say for sure. Šarić is Serbian, so he definitely could have pulled some stunts over in Serbia, and I wouldn't have been paying attention. You know, that might be on me. That could be a my bad for not knowing that. But no, they both seem like pretty good dudes. Although I will say, I'm just going to call him Šarić. I'm sorry. The Šarić is just weird to me.
I can't do it. I can't.
That lasted for
10
seconds. I will say that one unfortunate thing is Šarić's facial hair. And I have no excuse for that. I don't know what to tell you. It's unbecoming. It's frankly offensive to everybody with eyes. So that's a bummer. We're going to have to look at that for a while. I don't know what to do about that. The only negative I can think of right now.
Brandon!
Yeah, the guy in the flannel in the back with the beer.
Hey, Steve.
Wait, that's
Newman,
me.
Growler Magazine.
That's me.
No, that's me.
I'm
that's
the guy
me.
In the flannel
other guy
in the back
in the flannel.
With a beard.
Yeah,
the
Steve
guy
Newman,
with
Growler
the longer
Magazine.
Hair in the flannel.
The secondary aspects of this trade, I believe the Wolves got Jared Bayless and a second-round pick, mm-hmm. and the Sixers got Justin Patton. Do you have any thoughts on that aspect of the trade, or are those basically just ways to balance out the books?
Nope. I don't know or care about any of those things as of now. None of them will probably end up mattering. So it's really, to me, just Butler for those two dudes.
Yes. Brandon, question for you.
Yeah.
Yep. This is actually a question and then a follow-up question depending on your answer to the first question. Is Dario Šarić Serbian? And if he is, do we have evidence that he's actually not Nemanja? Is he Bjelica or not? That's my question.
As you know, I'm a member of the Sportive Podcast and we don't actually do any fact-checking. So I'm going to go ahead and say with full certainty 100% yes, he is Serbian. And then after that, what am I going to say next? I don't think that he's Bjelica, but I think he's basically the same player, but plays a little more often, which is great, right? Bjelica is doing well this year and he can shoot some threes. So, yeah, Šarić and Bjelica are, I guess I can't prove it. They very may well be the same person, although it'd be really incredible. And that'd be a very tough schedule for them. But, hey, maybe he likes flying. I don't know.
Brandon!
Yep. Yeah, Stu. Yep.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. Steve Newman, City Pages Music. Do you think what is your ideal, like, starting five for the Timberwolves? Or, like, a rotation that you are – how would you, like, run this team if you were not, say, an anger-filled crazy person who currently runs the team?
Yeah, they legitimately have 10 solid, not amazing players, but like legitimate professional players. I would go Towns, Šarić, Covington, Wiggins, and Teague. And then on the bench, you've got Tyus, oh my God, Okogie, Taj, Tolliver, and D. Rose. So not bad. Not bad at all. 10 guys. And then just basically what matters to me is that they are... They should be more fun to watch. Again, Butler is just at least in our system, just dribbled the ball so goddamn much. That part was tough to watch. And another thing that sucked about Butler is that he came with expectations. And you guys know, as fans of the Wolves, we have talked about this on the show a million times. We are fully aware that the Timberwolves are never going to win an NBA championship. Never. ever going to win. Might not even make it to the finals. But so you continue to watch them just because they're generally basketball is fun to watch. But when you get a good player like Butler, all of a sudden there's like expectations that they're supposed to be winning. The Wolves are more fun when no one in the broader national landscape gives a shit about them. And when no one really cares if they win or not, then you can just sort of have a stress-free evening of watching them get just obviously crushed. So that's where they're at again, and they've got lower expectations, and you know my feeling about expectations. They're at resentments waiting to happen, so they don't have those anymore, and now they can just be a little bit more fun while still probably sucking, and that's okay. So I like it. I definitely like it for the Wolves.
Brandon, question from John Marthaler.
One more, and then I got to move on. Sorry.
JohnMarthaler.com. If they beat the Pelicans tonight... Are you prepared to say that they're going to the playoffs?
I've got the parade route written on my graph paper, but it's in pencil, so I reserve the right to rip it out and throw it away. No, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. No, I don't think so. Whatever. That's fine. Okay.
Brandon!
Oh, yeah, one more. One last question.
Yeah, Stu, I wrote for MinPost once. So what's your takeaway for your beloved Philadelphia 76ers?
Oh, boy. Well, here's where delusion starts to set in.
Yep.
So please don't judge me. I think it makes a lot of sense for the Sixers, too. I mean, they have two other really good players. You might as well make a move. Kind of risky, but Butler should be fit in pretty decent with them over there. They blew a lead tonight. Butler didn't play a whole lot or wasn't involved a whole lot, so maybe it's not a good thing. But he's not like the man for that team, and if he becomes it, then I'm going to be very sad. Which, of course, he probably will now, just screw me over. But yeah, I think it'll be fun. The playoffs will be just, I think they'll be fun this year, so I'm looking forward to it. Okay, John.
Follow up. I have a follow up about Markelle Fultz crying.
I don't know if
how fast will it take
yet,
Jimmy Butler.
I imagine
will
that'll
Jimmy Butler
with,
make him cry?
Right, in the next couple days, that will for sure be happening. Which, you know, that's kind of sad, but also, he is a grown man. And he doesn't know how to shoot a free throw, so I think sometimes crying is good for him. Maybe it's a cathartic sort of thing. I know that some people see a lot of value in just like letting it all out, and that could be the key to unlocking Markelle Fultz.
He pump fakes on free throws, Brandon.
Yep. That's
weird. That's really weird, Brandon.
I think it's really weird, and I also think that he has basically just become NBA's Rick Ankiel. And that's very, very sad. But now, again, expectations for him are so low that he'll have like a decent game and people just will go absolutely apeshit if he has like 10 points in a game. And that's not too bad of a place to be either. So, but yeah, I am feeling for that dude so much. It's actually like sometimes painful, just like the Rick Ankiel experience or like John Lester when you see a dude that's like his lead at first base is like 30 feet. You just go, I just don't want to see this. I don't want to see it.
Somebody bunch on John Lester. And you're like, turn the channel. I can't watch.
God damn it. I know.
I can't watch a man confront all of his fears at once.
No, it's not good. It's not good at all. So, yeah, it's tough.
I do have an update, by the way. Quick update. I know the game is ongoing right now. Mm-hmm. But I know this will, for old Randball heads, this will make everyone happy. Micah Rand says the team looks really good right now.
Oh, no. Is that the case?
He says
death?
The team looks really good. And this is a bummer because I think everybody, like a week and a half ago, checked their batteries because it was daylight saving time.
Yeah, we just did
so,
that.
So, I mean, everyone's got their fire. I mean, everyone's schedule's going to be all fucked up now.
I know.
Your circadian rhythm. The Michael Rand violating your circadian rhythms is not cool.
No, exactly. Oh, man. Yeah, very true. Okay, but that's my thoughts on the trade. And then, John, you and I made a bet 4 years ago on who would have the most wins over the next 5 years, the Wolves or the Sixers. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, the context of that was the Sixers were terrible. I was the biggest Sam Hinkie fan on planet Earth, and I said that even though the Wolves had, like, I don't know who, Rubio and Love or something at the time, so they were, like, okay. And the bet was I thought the Sixers were going to get good in a hurry. And then the Sixers won, like, four games a year for 2 years, and then they came back with a couple extra wins over the Wolves the past few years. So we've got an update now, and this is our four-year through 4 years of our 5 year bet. You told me before we started recording that you wanted to give an update and you had actually been tracking and I hadn't. So something tells me this is not good news for me.
Well, I still think it's amazing how excited you were about a team that was literally constructed to be as bad as it possibly could be. The Sixers were tanking to a level that makes every other tanking team in any sport just ashamed. It was so obvious and so blatant, and you loved it so much, and it just made me so furious I lost my head a little bit, and I bet on a franchise whose only constant is mismanagement. It's
the worst franchise in professional sports history.
It's the most poorly run franchise in professional sports history that wasn't run by an out-and-out overt racist. Like, you take the Clippers under Donald Sterling out of the equation, and the Timberwolves are the worst. And they've lurched from bad. They've gone from... They had Sam Mitchell was involved for part of this five-year tenure, and he was the last guy anywhere. He was literally telling people not to take three-pointers because you made less of them, even though he just couldn't seem to understand that a three-pointer was worth more than a two-pointer.
All he cared about was like a crisp pick. A crisp back pick was all that. You get extra points for that, right?
You'd show him a number three and a number two, and he'd be like, no, I don't believe it. I don't believe.
Get out of my face,
nerd. This is not right. We're going to take two-pointers because you're closer to the basket. It's easier to make them.
Yeah.
Get out of my face with these numbers. Anyway, I don't want to get caught up in making fun of Sam Mitchell, but this is the kind of thing. And now it's Thibodeau, and he's worse in a completely different way, and this franchise is awful, and this franchise is garbage. And I say all of that because after 4 years of this bet, and I'll even include this year when the Sixers, everyone's still excited about the Sixers. Like, oh man, the Sixers, they're up and coming. Here comes Jimmy Butler, and the Timberwolves are the laughingstock of the league yet again. And the Sixers have 9 wins this year, and the Timberwolves have 5 wins. Mm-hmm. And that brings the Sixers total to 117 wins since we started this bet. And the Timberwolves total to 128 wins. So even with all this nonsense and all of your love of Sam Hinkie's plan to rebuild the Philadelphia 76ers franchise, even after 4 and a 6 years, you're still 11 wins behind.
Of the worst franchise, non-racist division in the history of professional sports.
It's uncanny.
It's fair to say there is no one who trusted the process more than me.
No.
I still trust it. I still love the process. I love it so much. Yeah, not a great look out of me. Okay, so you probably have this, but I just have to make up 11 wins, and it's going to be probably pretty close.
Could end up being very close. If it's a tie, that's going to be real frustrating.
I bet the Wolves are probably right now, Vegas over-under is probably something like 39, and the Sixers is probably something like 51. 52, so that would, you already counted the wins for this year, so I would lose, but it could be pretty tight.
If I told you that Andrew Wiggins looks like a man reborn? He looks like he's been released from captivity and he's breathing free air again.
I would say, John, I've seen this that movie 50 times.
What if I told
you ended the exact same way all 50?
What if I told you he's crashing the boards with abandon and has made 2 amazing defensive plays in the fourth quarter of this important game against the New Orleans Pelicans?
All right, hold on. To this game or 2 in 1 quarter?
2 in 1 quarter. 2 in the last couple of minutes.
That's fucked up, man. That's weird. Something's up. Something's going on.
That is weird.
And he's not even playing Toronto?
He's not playing Toronto. The curse has been lifted, I think. All the bad juju is gone. He can speak English again. He's been speaking only French for the last 3 years.
It's such a funny thing
that Jimmy Butler put on him.
It's such a funny thing about basketball, and I think it's probably unique to basketball, is that they, by all accounts, we'll see, of course, but if you looked at any of the betting, gambling sites, whatever, they got worse, right? Wins-wise for this year. And yet I don't think any fan cares if they're fun to watch. Like, it's so specific to basketball. Like, oh, well, I just want them to be fun to watch. There's not that in any other sport, really. So we'll see. But I love me some Bob Covington, and I love me some Sarge, so I'm a happy man.
Man, I just all I want it's gonna all end I want so for boring. Christmas this year is somehow it's getting closer now. The dream was dead. Now the dream is alive a little bit. What I want for Christmas is I want Taylor to fire Thibodeau,
yes,
and somehow trade Jeff Teague and Derrick Rose away and get Ricky Rubio back.
Oh my God, John!
We can restart the whole thing. Stop it.
I just six to midnight. Immediate six to midnight.
Can you imagine if Taylor fired Thibodeau and traded for Rubio? And was like, all right, we're resetting this. We're going back to where we were before that awful angry man was here. We're going to try it again. Everything's going to be fine.
This team would be so fun to watch. And, like, Okogie's looking good. He's, like, a perfect Rubio-type guy. They're just such good defensive hustle types. Same with Covington.
Yep.
Oh, why did you even let that enter my brain, you asshole? That's all I think. That's all I'm going to think about now. That's it. That's all I care about. Oh, God. Well, anyway, the Wolves are fun to watch again. That's what I'll say. And I also will say I tend to watch the Wolves on pretty low volume because I got kids running around and all that shit. But I don't know if I hear Tibbs screaming at the top of his lungs as much this year. Maybe he's given up. Maybe they just took the microphones so far to the other end of the court that you can't hear him berating his team. But is it possible that he is not quite as big a lunatic anymore?
Maybe getting the absolute heck boot out of him at every single home game has chastened him a little bit.
Maybe. Maybe he's humbled. It's possible. I've said it before. Actually, I don't know if I've said it on the podcast, but I say it all the time, and I think about it all the time. You know what this world needs more of? Humility. Just in general, every single person is so sure of themselves now. A little bit of humility, I think, could go a long way for everybody. So maybe Tibbs is one of them that's gotten a little, gotten beaten down a little bit, a little bit humbled. I'm probably wrong. I mean, I'm usually wrong, but I don't know. Let's hope. And mostly, let's hope that he gets fired soon. That's the most humbling thing.
Yeah, I think that's going to be when I start watching again, is when he's gone. I have yet to watch a minute of Timberwolves basketball, even the Derrick Rose 50-point game, because I just don't like Derrick Rose.
Oh, that was so tough. That was so tough to watch. Yeah. It was so exciting, and I also was like, And then I'm trying to like do the math in my head of like, wait a minute, why is he? I know he's shitty. I'm trying to think of the exact reasons. I kind of know this circumstance, but I know he fucking sucks while I'm watching basketball. Yep. This is what's going through my head now.
Yeah, so
we're too woke. Yeah, so that we're just all too woke now.
We are.
I got to tell you.
The kids are too woke these days.
They are.
When I saw that the Timberwolves and the Pelicans were close, I've been watching this. This is, I think, my first Timberwolves game of the year, to be honest with you. I couldn't bear to watch the Jimmy Butler saga play out because it was so sad and wrong and terrible. And now he's gone, and I'm really enjoying watching this team right now.
We are all born anew. Yeah. You know, I thought point.
Chicken Fingers is the one in the church parking lot, but all of our souls are the ones that got saved tonight.
Wow. I didn't see that coming. you know, our good friend, TV's Matt Brickman, I love him to death.
Good guy.
Really good guy. Underrated, really good basketball player. Did you guys know this about Matt Brickman?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's a dad baller now, and he plays about as good a defense as, let's say, Jeff Teague. He's basically a matador out there. But, you know, he's got good footwork.
So he's checking his phone while he's playing.
Oh, yeah,
defense.
Of course. He's taking pics, Insta stories, all that shit. Yeah, but he's, you know, he's got some game. Anyway, he said that he actually still liked Butler through this whole saga because he thought that the organization was a disaster and all Butler did was shine a light on it. Now, I think that's untrue. I think Butler is a dick, but there's something to that too. There's something about him just being a little maybe too flagrant about it, but kind of exposed Tibbs as, and we've talked about this before, as being a total a shitty human. So there's some value to that. So we owe him a tiny bit of thank you while also still hating his guts. I would say that.
I mean, it's hard to get in these into these the enemy of my enemy is my friend kind of calculations. Like, well, Butler ruined the franchise, but he also made Tibbs look like an idiot, so that's good, I guess. But I still want Jimmy Butler fired into space, so it's,
yeah.
This is how you end up rooting for the meteorites.
That's so true. Well, should we move on? This was some good talk. I'm really happy we got to talk this out.
Boy, I'm just happy to be a Timberwolves fan again. That's what I'm happy about.
Yes, exactly. I did not know you guys were so far gone from being Wolves fans. I haven't been watching as much. You're right. The Butler era kind of took it out of me. But I have still been watching a fair amount. So, well, I'm happy to welcome you back into the fold. We're so happy to have you.
No, and
the
so
Wolves,
good to be here.
We can now report, which is our favorite tradition here, is talking about live sports scores as if we're on the actual radio, which will never happen, of course.
No.
They did win. The Wolves won tonight.
So they're going to the playoffs.
They're playoffs, baby. Yep, parade route.
Woohoo!
Andrew Wiggins. So we've talked about this, I think, before. My key to seeing if Wiggins had a good game or not really comes down to, does he have 10 total if you combine rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks? And if any time he ever has less than 10 total of those four categories, he sucks, he's a piece of shit, and we should yell at him because he's too athletic to not have 10 total of that. And tonight he did well. 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, and a block. So you're right, John. He was a man possessed tonight.
Here we go.
And now he's not going to play a good game until mid-February. But
I hate you so much.
We'll take it. We'll take it. Okay, let's move on. I have questions for you guys. This is how we typically do things, so let's do it tonight as well. I'm going to start with Stu.
All right, what's up?
Stuart, who do you have for your Vikings versus my beloved Bears this weekend? Who's going to win that game?
Boy, that's a toughie. That's the start of a really, really tough four-game stretch for the Vikings. And for one, I can't believe we're actually talking about the most popular team in town on our sports podcast, Oops. Which we didn't bother to do the last episode at all. But
yes, them.
Yeah, those guys. Man, I honestly don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen on Sunday. I don't know how healthy the Vikings are. I think Diggs will be back, but I think they're still pretty banged up on defense. Chicago's playing well, but they haven't. I mean, they have played nobody good at all. So they're kind of. It's hard to say. Khalil Mack is awesome. Mm-hmm. So I think everyone knows, and I know. Chicken Fingers speculates that Khalil might throw Kirk Cousins out of the stadium with one arm, shot put style, which would be a penalty, which would help the Vikings get field position, perhaps. But then they would have to rely on their backup quarterbacks. So I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't. If you guys, I know a lot of our listeners are deer hunters. The game got rescheduled to Sunday night, so you can get out in the stand and shoot Bambi in the face. I think there's still deer hunting this weekend. I don't really give a shit, but
Sport
I think
effect.
There is.
Sport effect. Could you guys, it's okay, let's effect. Let's you, be really quick, though. Have either of you ever shot a deer?
No.
No.
Could you shoot a deer?
Like,
probably.
Is it physically possible?
No, not physically. Are you okay? Like, I just am becoming such a softie. I know for a fact if I was in a stand and a deer was like just ambling around in front of me and like stopped to eat some whatever they're eating, leaves, whatever, and I had the open shot, I don't think I could do it. Mm-hmm. I don't think I could pull the trigger. I'm that big of a wuss.
I have a counterpoint to that. Have you ever tasted like venison sticks?
Yeah. Well, I'm one of
they're
those
super good.
Fake...
They're super
activists because my family shoots deer and I eat the shit out of it. It tastes so good. It's amazing.
So
yeah. Yeah. I just am too big of a wuss, I think, to pull the trigger.
I don't know if you're seeing Bambi or what you're seeing there, but I'm seeing one walking venison stick that I just have to shoot one time.
So you'd take her down.
So yeah, you'd absolutely. Take it down. 100%.
All right, so it's just me. God damn it. Okay, back to the game. Sorry, Stu.
It's Sunday night, prime time. Alan Chris and Michelle Tafoya. Mm. And I don't know what's going to happen. All I know, it's a road game in Chicago. Even when they're good, they lose. Weird stuff happens every year there in Chicago. Mm-hmm. So I would just get, I think the Bears are 3-point favorites, so it means Vegas thinks it's a tie. I will pick the Bears just because the weird shit happens.
You know, they're doing... Go ahead, John. Sorry.
Somehow the Bears are awarded 9 points for every touchdown they score at Soldier Field. I don't know how it happens, but Stu's right. Weird stuff happens.
It's weird. It is so weird.
Alternate dimensions open.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Weird.
Yeah, I kind of feel like maybe not in the way they look, but they got a similar vibe to the Vikings last year, where they have a quarterback where you're like, I don't think that quarterback's very good. He might have a game that's pretty good every once in a while, but I think he's pretty bad, and they're going to come back to earth soon. But then you look on the other side, and they've got a killer defense, and the quarterback doesn't need to do a ton. He doesn't need to throw for 400 yards. And so even though it feels somewhat offensively like smoke and mirrors, that's okay. They have a more exciting, I think, offense than the Vikings did last year, or maybe not last year, but than they've typically had. But their defense is so good that it can kind of keep them in games. So kind of copping our style. It's weird that they're good.
I mean, it's hard to say. And the thing is, if they lose this one, their next three games are difficult. They have... Packers at home and then on the road against New England and Seattle. So
yeah,
the rest of the schedule after that is pretty easy.
Okay,
but I think 2-2 in these next four games, they probably get in the playoffs. Anything lower than that, it's gonna be a stretch. Anything better than that, and then you can start like thinking about playoff matchups. Because that means they have they've done really well, but I think 2-2 is what any fan should actually be looking for the next four games.
Right, you know that I'm into the numbers and the data. I just love diving on in. I mean, I love being in the film room most of all. The All-22 is where I feel happiest, but I also like to dive into the numbers. And the Vikings defense for the first few games this year was I don't know, abysmal. Is that fair? Horseshit.
They weren't good.
Not good. Not great, Bob. But I just checked our favorite website, Football Outsiders, and they are now up to the 7th best defense in the league. So they've had some good games. So they're back. They're back, baby. And their special teams is 25th, as usual. That's kind of where I feel like I'm not going to look this up, and you're not going to. You can't make me. But I feel like they're about that.
Nobody looked this up.
And I still have no idea how that. That stupid asshole that's running special teams has a job. It's quite confusing to me. Or maybe it's a new guy. Honestly.
No, it's the same guy. Same guy still here.
I said that and realized I have no idea what I'm talking about. Mid-sentence. Like, oh my God, I guess I'll just keep talking and see what happens.
I feel like any moment in which you're complaining about a position coach, not a coordinator necessarily, but a position coach, mm-hmm. you know that it's a good time for self-reflection where you start complaining about like a tight ends coach and you're like, oh, right. I've gone too far. This is too
gotta
far.
Gotta get these guys under control. Like, what?
Huh? I can't understand why these linebackers coaches aren't, oh, what am I doing here? What am I doing with my life?
Oh, my God. Ooh. Yep. Very true. Okay, so you think the Bears by a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, I think that they've had a little bit of bad luck this year, and they got one coming to them. So they're going to get some sort of couple of lucky breaks and win this one.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Yep. 24.
Yeah.
22.
Yeah, I mean, you win this one and then beat the Packers next week, and then you like drop two to New England and Seattle, and it's not the end of the world, really.
It's fine. You know, I know this will never shape up the way that we... Let's play. That's it'll never shape up the way that we want it to, but there are some really good teams in the NFL this year that are really fun to watch. I feel like I've been bitching about the NFL for years, and I haven't been paying, like, I think you guys probably pay more attention than me, but I just feel like New Orleans and the Rams and Kansas City.
And the Chiefs. And fun to watch.
Yeah, just really, really fun to watch. And that doesn't even mention, like, the Vikings could totally beat one of those teams. And the Patriots, those fuckers are always decent. And the Steelers, who knows? Yeah. But, man, if it's one of those, if it's two of those three teams in the Super Bowl, that would be a real delight.
Yeah. Yeah, Rams and Chiefs play on Monday night. That'll be a fun one for the kids.
Oh,
video
yeah.
game numbers.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
If you're going to move that. On.
Does that sound okay?
Okay. Yep,
the next question is for John. Jonathan, how much did you cry during the Joe Mauer retirement press conference?
Less than Joe did.
Okay.
All right. I can say that for sure.
What were you just feeling your mortality?
Well, I think anytime you start seeing people who are younger than you retire with gray hair, then it's
very gray. Yeah.
It's trouble to understand what's going on. Like, I think about, like, NHL guys. The guys who I remember were in college when I was in college are now, like, wily veterans who don't play all the time. And the guys that, when I was doing prep sports stuff that I covered when they're in high school, they're, like, onto their free agent contracts now and, like, in the prime of their careers. And it started happening that guys who were born after I graduated from high school have started entering the league. And so it's just, there's a wave. There's a wave of youth coming, and time is still undefeated. So there was some mortality, but honestly, with Joe Mauer, I just ended up being happy that he was happy. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So the press conference was kind of fun. It was kind of fun to see him one last time talking about stuff that he never really talked about during his career because he felt like he couldn't or he felt like he shouldn't. And so I'm kind of hoping that in retirement he becomes cranky and old and starts telling stories about the time that Justin Morneau snuck into the Indians clubhouse and took off his pants and just rubbed his butt all over every surface he could reach in the Indians clubhouse and that sort of stuff. All those stories. Mm-hmm. He knows. He doesn't tell. Maybe now they come out.
What do you think his post-career, when are we going to hear from him? How often?
Well,
he's going to be a LaTroy Hawkins type, shows up on the broadcasts, and
no, I
he's
think
pretty
he'll be
active.
I think he'll be kind of a Paul Molitor type where, remember before Paul Molitor was the manager, even the bench coach, when he would be a roving special instructor or whatever, and he was just sort of like this ghost hovering around doing stuff, but you had no idea what? I think that'll be Mauer.
Yeah.
I think he'll be the guy who goes to spring training every year, and he's some special instructor and the team wheels them out of functions. Like, you know how even now you go to Target Field, if you walk by one of the elevators or walk through the concourse, there's a pretty good chance that at some point you're going to see Tony Oliva. I think that's going to be Maurer.
Yeah.
Just sort of he's sort of the twin emeritus. He'll be the new one of those.
But he's, even in that role, will still be a polarizing person. Don't you think? Like, I don't think the Ford F-150 Coon Rapids bros are ever going to be like, you know what? Now that I think about it, he was pretty good. He's pretty good.
Now those guys can go screw themselves.
Yeah. Oh, they're wrong. They're very wrong. But I don't see this as being like, hey, once he gets older, I might start to realize. Because I think what, obviously, that offense coming from a catcher is not a thing that they, the bros, think about too much. So that just may be it. But I love him. Joe, we love you very much. He's a listener, so talk to him directly.
Okay. Is Stuart, anything to add, or should we move on?
Just, you know, I've lost my muse for Twinkie Town, so I don't really know what the next step is for me in writing about the Twins in the off season, because I can always just do Joe Maurer plus concept equals 500 words, and now I got there's a whole other jokes that I have to come up with and then recycle for years, and I haven't quite figured out how I'm going to do that yet. So just bear with me, people. It's not easy. It's not easy.
God, it doesn't write itself.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have faith in you.
I know. I'll think of something.
All right, Stu, my next question's for you.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Mr. Puck.
Oh, yeah.
Are our Wild back, baby?
You know, I think... if you're like me, you check the standings every day.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
hell yeah.
see how those West Coast games shook out, and it turns out our Wild are only 3 points back of the division leading Nashville Predators, my Perds.
Your Perds.
And they're only one game back in the loss column, and that's saying a lot, because I mean, Peter Laviolette has really got my Perds. You know, they're humming right now. They're doing well, and to see the Wild after a really rough start, sort of clawed their way back in it. They sounds like they found themselves in a long road trip, and there's a chance that they might be a little scrappy this year. I know John and Chicken Fingers basically had them dead and buried earlier this year.
Haters with a Z.
Haters, and I mean, I had said some pretty untoward thing, but again, I'm more of a Perds guy.
You're a Perds guy. I mean you have to. You saw him coming, yeah, so the claws came out.
Real Perds hours. But it's now the Wild are, they're back, and they're, you know, they're, I think, you know, maybe they're an interesting team to watch, and I will admit that I have not watched more than 5 minutes of Wild hockey this season. the numbers do not lie.
And
I think we need to turn it over to John to maybe get some analysis on this. John.
Well, one of the odd things about the Wild is that I wouldn't say they are necessarily even playing all that well, but they're finding ways to win, as Stu mentioned, almost on a nightly basis. We talked a lot before the season about how it felt like they needed everything to go right for them to stay where they were. And for the most part, they've been healthy. So in a sense, that's gone right. But some of their guys that really are getting into the years that they need to produce, like Charlie Coyle and Nino Niederreiter, and I felt like the Wild really needed those guys to get back to their potential, or I guess I should say reach their potential, rather than always being sort of having that potential just be just out of reach. And Niederreiter struggled, and Coyle has struggled, and a number of other guys have struggled as well, but they keep finding ways to win. And I think part of that is that they've played a lot of not very good teams, but part of that is that they've got a veteran team, and it's not a very... It's the dad team. it's not like the college Young Bucks team that's up and down, and they're a different team on Tuesday than they are on Thursday. The Wild are pretty much just always the same thing. They're like your dad. He takes off. He comes home from work. He has supper, goes downstairs, sits in the same chair, watches the same stuff on TV every night. That's the Wild. Every night, same channel. So they're not, I don't know if they're amazing. I don't think you can look at their really good run, as Stu mentioned, and say that this is definitely something that's going to keep going for the rest of the year. But it's certainly better than the alternative, because they were not that far away from going the other way. I think one of the weird things about this run, and they're 16 games into the season, I'm not sure how many games they've played, but I think they've fallen behind in something like 12 out of those 16 games or something like that. Just ridiculous. And yet they still have one of the better records in the NHL. So it's an odd situation.
Listeners, just to chime in here, I'm so sorry. We lost some audio before, but so we just we cut in some audio from the last 6 years of the Wild that we just put into here. So hopefully that still makes somewhat sense.
That not might exactly be positive, relevant. But not sure. Need so a writer sorry. Struggling? Check. Technical Dad difficulty. Team, old team, check. Yep, everything checks out.
Okay. Jonathan, next question is for you. What is going on with the Gopher football team? They're the worst team on the planet, and then they're good again. Help me out, man. What's
I
happening?
I have absolutely no idea. Next question.
All right.
John. Neither does anyone else. Neither does anyone else. No one has any idea. PJ Fleck has no
idea.
Who
do they play? Who do they play this weekend, John?
They play Northwestern this weekend.
Notre Dame.
Oh, no, okay. They don't play Notre Dame this weekend. They play
Northwestern. Northwestern won one of the divisions, right?
Northwestern won the Big Ten West. Northwestern will be in the Big Ten title game. Northwestern also lost all three of their non-conference games this year, one of which was to Akron. So that tells you about how well the Big Ten West is playing this year.
Wow.
And nothing would make more sense in the Big Ten West this year than if Minnesota just beat the absolute crap out of Northwestern this weekend. That would make perfect sense.
They did that to Purdue, and I think Purdue beat Northwestern. So anything's possible.
No, I think Northwestern pulled out that Purdue. It was the first game of the year, and it seemed like neither team had had a practice before the game started. So,
cool and fun.
It's a weird year. There's absolutely no telling what is going to happen. I would not be surprised if you told me the game was 55-0. It would surprise me zero for that to go either way.
You'd still have to ask who won.
Yeah, I would still have to be like, wow. So, I need more. I need more than that. Yeah.
And they need to win one of their final two games to get bowl eligible. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
And they're not going to win their last game because it's at Wisconsin.
Well, again, Big Ten West this year. Would you be entirely surprised?
I think that would actually probably get Ricey to say something nice about Fleck if they were to win at Wisconsin. I think.
Now that would be something.
I don't have Ricey's number, but I think he would actually say something nice about Fleck if he were to do that. I might even do that.
I gotta say, I just can't imagine how happy I would be if Northwestern would beat Michigan in the Big Ten title game and ruin Michigan's chance of getting into the college football playoff. That would be wonderful.
That would be great.
I would really enjoy that. That's what I want to happen now.
Yeah, Michigan's top five right now, right?
Yeah, I think that's right. And if somehow Notre Dame could also end up out of there, that would be hilarious too.
Wow. Do you hate Michigan just the same that you always hit Michigan, or do you hate them especially this season or because of the Harbaugh thing?
No, kind of I hate blanket. I hate hatred. Michigan about the same. I would say my hatred of Michigan has stayed very real but very steady through the last 35 years of my life.
Set your watch by it. That's good. Yeah. You got to have some of those things in your life.
It's the Johnny Unitas haircut of my anger.
You keep going.
There's your show title.
There we go. Johnny. Well, John, if you don't have a ton to say about Gopher football, can you talk to us about Gopher hoops?
I can't exactly, except I need somebody to tell me about the new court at Williams Arena, and I need you guys to talk me down a little bit. Stu, okay. I'm going to need you to talk me down.
No, I'm not going to, because it's awful. It looks like, remember the episode of Friends where Ross got those veneers put on his teeth and they glowed in the dark?
Sure,
that's what the floor looks like.
I did.
That is what
you.
The floor looks like at all times. It is Ross Geller's teeth. It's so bad. And I know that Williams Arena was like dingy and dark and gross and the rat infested raised
the whole
floors
thing felt like a hallway somehow. The entire thing was a hallway. But still.
As far as I know, Bill Musselman lived under the floor until the day he died, and that's just where he lived, and people were okay with it because he was Bill Musselman, and
it
no one was going to say, hey,
the
you 90s. Can't do that.
It happened.
Yeah, so, yeah, they had a shot on one of the local sports TV things. Oh, yeah, newscasts, that's what they're called. And they showed the Gophers playing on the court, and it was just, I thought it was a road game.
Right.
But it's just this bright white wood, and it's untoward, John. It's unseemly.
It is unseemly.
Us white dads hate it.
Somebody told me, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I choose to believe that it is true. Someone told me that the reason it's like bleached white is that it was supposed to be like reclaimed barnwood, which just, if
Hooey.
That's true... If that's true, it makes me far more furious. Brandon, I know that you are the marketing expert of the podcast.
Of Minnesota. Yep.
Of Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes,
you can't tell me that actual marketing people were involved in being like, well, it's called the barn. What if we make it look like a barn? It already looks like a barn. That's why it's called the barn. You don't have to drive the point home. Let's paint a cow on the floor so people know. No, you don't have to paint a cow on the floor. It's fine.
That's a real Hail Mary. I'm going to go ahead and hope that no marketing people are involved with that. That's not even marketing.
It's just pure stupidity.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Anyway,
which we do sometimes, but
it's different, and I hate it. And I hate it because it's different, but I also hate it because it's bad.
I'm 100% with you on all counts. You know, we were joking about your wild segment being the exact same thing we've been talking about for 6 years, but I feel like the Gophers are entering the same territory. Again, as mentioned, I love the numbers, baby. I love looking up the data and the analytics. So I went to Ken Pom. Ken Pomeroy is one of the big numbers geeks for basketball. My buddy Ken Pom, and he's got the Minnesota Gophers in... He may just not have updated his website in the last 6 years, but they're the 49th best team in the country. Have we been saying that the exact same number every goddamn year?
If you went into, I'm sure he has like a standings page and stuff that updates after every victory, and it's got all the ratings and stuff. But if you go into the code that runs that page, you're going to find that there's a hard-coded value in there that just says 49 Minnesota.
49. That's Minnesota.
Everybody else moves up and down, but Minnesota stays right at 49.
Right, yeah. So that's where they're at, and that's just probably where they're going to be the entire time. So what happens for the Gophers, if I can try to look into my crystal ball, there's two outcomes that happen. One is the good outcome, which they just completely run their non-conference table, and at some point they're like 16-3, and they're like the 19th ranked team in the country. And then conference game starts, and then they lose the next like 14 games, and they end up like 16-17, and they miss the playoffs. And that's the best one. The bad scenario is most of their guys get hurt or suspended or arrested or deported pretty quickly, and they're bad from the get-go. So those are the two outcomes that we've seen in the Richard Pitino, Lil Richie era. So I can't wait to see which one of this is going to be.
Hurt, suspended, deported. What was the other one? Hurt, arrested, suspended, and deported is the Pitino quadfecta.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's like bingo. Because you get the free space.
Right.
Oh, man. I don't know. We've talked about it a million times, but I just would love if Gopher Hoops was good. Just good. I don't need him to be Duke. But just solid. That's all I want.
And now that Lindsey Whalen is the coach of the women's team, Ricky Pitino's team is not even the most popular team that plays at Williams Arena. So
right, he's got some work to do. Yeah. Okay, that's is that all we got for Gopher Hoops?
I think so.
Okay. Do you guys have any other parting, burning topics?
I just want to hear about dad life.
I got one more sports thing, all real right. Quick.
Sports and dad life.
I just want to do a shout out. It's I think we're in. It may almost be like a renaissance, but it's the top three teams in college hockey are all from Minnesota. It's amazing. So yeah, if you look at the USCHO rankings, you'll see Duluth, Mankato, and St. Cloud in the top three. Just setting the tone for the state of Minnesota.
As they
do. And
then
if you get right, yeah, and then if you get down to where Arizona State is, Minnesota is also ranked in the top 19, 20.
Huh, that's not bad. Good for Minnesota.
They're scrappers. They're trying really hard. And just, I mean, you got, you know, the Cadillac programs, and then the program that gets all the good players, and they're almost as good as Arizona State. So congrats to them, and congrats to Duluth and St. Cloud and Mankato.
But they've got Arizona State like in their crosshairs, though. Like, they could potentially overcome Arizona State. That's a really good stretch goal for them this year.
If they get past them, they can get to Cornell next.
You know, I think if you're above Arizona State, that's hang a banner.
The Ivies of the Pac-10, and then you take on Cornell. I mean, that's you got some real. That's a stepping stone right there, son.
You're almost with the big boys at that point. Fair. That's, you know, I mean, baby steps. They're a new program. A new program, I believe.
I think so, yes. Entirely just to make sure that Chicken Fingers listens to the show. We'll see how my tweet mentions are tomorrow. We'll see how that goes.
We buried this one pretty deep, and we still have no idea what on earth he's been doing in a church parking lot. So I'm going to say the odds of you getting an angry note from Chicken is let me go with about 15%.
What he does is he takes a band that I really like and just says something horrible about them, like Michael Stipe should have drowned in a bathtub.
He's played that card really a few times. Stuff. It's pretty good.
It always hurts. So he knows how to get me. So
yeah.
But okay. Yes, we can move on to the dad portion of the program. That's good.
I put dad life on the old agenda here. I don't have a lot to say, like story wise. I just had an overall question for you two, and I don't know either of you or neither have to answer. How is your dad rage level? Do you have dad rage? That's like a common funny thing that they say happens to all dads. And just curious, John, can I ask you? Have you become a little bit more? Do you fly off the handle at all now that you're a dad versus when you weren't a dad? Is the fuse a little bit shorter? And have you thought about that and why that's happening?
I would say the exact opposite is true.
So now you're cool as a cucumber.
Well, because here's the thing. You guys know that what causes 100% of my rage in life is Minnesota sports teams.
Sure. Yeah.
And having a daughter has really, really not only prevented me from knowing what's going on with Minnesota sports in many cases, but also when you're holding a small child, it just makes it that much harder to really let loose with it turned up to 11 like I'd like to. back before I had kids, I could just let it all out, no filter, didn't matter what I said. Now it's like, well, she learns words real quick. I cannot express to Troy Aikman just what a poor job he's doing broadcasting this game without my daughter repeating some of these words to her mother, and then I'll be in trouble for a long time.
But so, getting out of the sports realm, you have not found your fuse to be any shorter in regular life?
No, but I only have one child, so that makes a big difference.
Stu, what about you? Did you ever experience, like, wow, I have a shorter fuse than I used to? Is that a thing that happened to you?
No, I don't. No, I don't think so. Maybe during a couple of Celia's basketball games, but that would have been, you know, just because there's just only so many times you can watch a checked out ref watch, you know, your daughter get absolutely steamrolled by some farm kid from Foley. It's just, there's only so much you can, there's only so much you can hold in. Not that Celia didn't get hers twice, tenfold. And we'd have to get the car running before the game was even over and get her shuttled out there before the parents came after us, because she liked to foul hard. God bless her. But no, that would be the extent of that. That's just how I am wired. I mean, for Christ's sake, I commute to the city 3 days a week, and I don't like get road rage. I just get road resignation more than anything else. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just the way I'm built. There's some guys, you know, are always type A all the time and to their detriment. And I can't do it, man. It's not in me.
And I also do think it makes a difference here. Stu had two daughters. I have one daughter. You have two sons, Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
I think that makes a difference. And I'm basing this partially on Chicken Fingers' experiences with his son. Just making every effort to try to make him even crazier than he already is.
Just a master class in trolling. It's incredible. There should be a documentary made about his son.
So, Brandon, are you experiencing the dad rage? Is the dad rage happening to you?
You know, I have I have a very overactive brain. I need like 100% mental stimulation just overall. So just to help set the scene, that's just who I am. Neurotic or whatever you want to call it, that's me. But one thing I've been sort of ongoing obsessed about is like tracking my mood and then trying to understand why my mood is a certain way. Because sometimes, I mean, you guys have experienced it too. You're just sort of in a funk for a day. And it's like, why is this? Sometimes you don't know, right? Sometimes it's because you didn't get enough sleep or because of work or because of this, that, whatever. But I try to do a really good job of tracking that. And like, for example, I noticed after I exercise, I'm like the happiest person on the planet. There's something, I hate exercise, but I love how happy I am after exercise, right? So I'm just always sort of monitoring that. So I exercise a lot more now. I still hate it. It's still just an absolute nightmare to me to be at the gym. But because of that feeling afterwards, I know that I should continue to do that. But there are times when the dumbest little like inconveniences happen to me and I'm like grumpy about it. Like the very like stereotypical dad things, like my kid will spill his milk or juice or whatever. And I'm like, God damn it. And then I'm just like going, what on earth is wrong with you? Who gives a shit? There's nothing that actually happened. There was no actual impact on any of our lives. Why does this bother me? Like, why can't I mentally just be like, okay, the actual upshot is like, I need to go find, I need to clean this up. And it's just 2 minutes out of my life. Why do I give a shit? Or like, have you ever like picked up the garbage bag, to take it out, but it's been leaking. So now the floor is dirty. That like has been it's very annoying to me. And then I start to realize like, why do I care? Who gives a shit? In the grand scheme of things, who cares? And I think about it so much with parenting and my kids, and you guys could potentially have way different points of view from me, but what I've always come back to as a parent is you really are responsible for to teach your child two things, kindness and resilience. And everything else is kind of up to them. If your kid is both of those things, you did a fucking great job. You can't 100% control either of those. Sometimes your kid's going to be a jerk or can't handle life coming at them. But that really should be your focus, I think. That's my point of view, at least with our kids. And then I also realize that a lot of parents, especially probably fairly well-off parents like myself, are not resilient at all in any sort of way. Like, we just get cranky, and our expectations of life being easy just, I think, happens too much. And it's just a very odd thing for me to have this amazing life, and then when, like, my kids are annoying when we're playing Monopoly, like, they can't figure the money out, and they are flipping the game board over or whatever, I just get, like, really, really annoyed. So I've had to sort of check myself recently of, like, what is wrong with you? You try to preach resilience in every single case, and you don't do it yourself. So I was hoping that one of you had the same issue, but you guys are both fucking perfect, so that stings a little bit.
I think the thing that's protecting me here is that I watch a lot of Minnesota sports, so I always expect the worst.
Right.
And when it happens, but it's like, yeah, this is what happens. Things go exactly the way you don't want them to go, and you're miserable all the time. That's the way life works. Congratulations.
It's just an interesting thing, though, like, to remember that you control your attitude and you have a choice. Like, you own your feelings don't own you, right? So, like, the other day, I don't know why this was a thing to me. It was like a light bulb moment for me, which I'm just cringing that I just said that, because this example I'm going to tell you is literally about a light bulb.
Man, I can't wait until your boss is playing this at top volume from his office.
I know. Oh, that was tough. Hi, Frank. The garage light bulb went out, and it was, like, cold. It was just a few days ago. It was super cold. I didn't want to go back. We have a detached garage, and it sucks or whatever. And I was just very annoyed. I was just like, oh, shit. I mean, my life is, like, busy enough. It's not hard. I'm very clear that I've got a very lucky life, but I am very busy. So I just remember having this moment of, like, God, this sucks. And then that was kind of the thing where I was like, what? Why? Why does this suck? This is 5 minutes out of your life where you got to go get the step stool and you put it up and you change the light bulb in your garage, and it's a good thing. And you need to stop expecting life to not throw these tiny things at you and start being okay with these little inconveniences. That's a lot of adult life, is these tiny little inconveniences. And I don't know, it was just one of those moments. Again, I cringe that I said the word light bulb using that example, but I don't know, I've been thinking about it a lot. And it's one of these, like, blessing curse sort of scenarios. When your life is so good, you do start to have these expectations that it should always be good and easy. Whereas, I mean, Stu, I think your point about being in traffic 3 days a week, you're like, yeah, it is what it is. Like, what do you want me to do about it? If I had to complain about being in traffic, I would be suicidal, right? I mean, so I don't know. I just wanted to talk that out and hopefully have it all make sense.
I'm right there with you. I think you're right.
You sound like you have a better handle on your, like, dad rage, though. I mean, again, I know rage is, like, more of a joke. I can promise you I am, like, the least rageful person in the world. But it's the minor annoyances that can just be annoying to me that I need to just be like, yeah, the garbage bag is leaking. That's what happens.
See,
who gives a shit?
I thought what you meant by dad rage was, like, raging at your children. Like, sitcom dad. I was like, well, no. I don't do that, but raging about the minor inconveniences of life, oh yeah, that's absolutely me. And I, my version of your story is a little bit, this goes back a little farther, and you're going to be a little bit surprised to find out that involves my brother Dave being the voice of reason. Because no. he has this persona, he plays this this public persona of being the least reasonable person ever, when he's actually probably the most reasonable person I know and the most level-headed person I know. So anyway, this is back before I bought my house. Dave and I were still sharing an apartment, and something happened. It may have been sports related. It may have been like fantasy football related, and it sent me into just a blind fury where I like threw something, and he looked at me and said, "John, no, this is a minor setback." So when I feel the rage building, I think about Dave saying, "This is a minor setback," and that usually calms me down.
Yeah. Well, I think I just need to try to be more like Stu.
I'm going to send Dave to your house, and he's going to be like, "Brandon, no, this is a minor setback, and you're going to feel better. Just trust me."
I'm just the guy that a little bit more often than I was expecting will do the under my breath, like, "God damn it."
Cool.
Never actually mad or angry with anybody ever, but just like the little things kind of build up. And I started to realize, like, why do I think that life is supposed to just be simple the entire time? I did this to myself. Like, it's not like a thing that happened. Like, kids were handed to me, and this house was handed to me, and this job was handed to me. Like, I chose all these sort of things. And so then to choose those things and then be sort of annoyed that it's difficult sometimes, or like, I don't know. It's just an exercise, again, in resilience of the smallest little things of just you own your feelings and you own your attitude about shit. So, I don't know.
Man, I feel like this is really wise sage advice, and it's too much in the middle of the night for me to really take it on board right now.
Sure. Yeah. No, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I want to someday have just a full-on, like, only dad life podcast. Like, one out of every four should just be, like, no sports.
Yeah.
And sports are really good right now, so we've got a lot to talk about, but maybe we can table some of these deeper thoughts for the off season, because there's going to be lots of those. It's actually most of the time there's no good sports to talk about.
Right. So. But we can love the Timberwolves again, and the Wild are playing well, and we have something to be angry at the Gopher basketball team for, so we got a good winter coming up.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Well, that's all I got. Should we call it a night?
I think we can do that.
All right. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Later.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.